How do you find acceptance? Real life starts now.
Welcome to Real Life with Evangelists Han and Kathleen Lay, where people with real problems find answers in a real God.
Welcome to Real Life. I'm your host, Kathleen Lay, and joining me is my husband, Evangelist Han Lay.
Later in the show, you'll hear from Adrian Van Vactor, who was always looking for acceptance through his career.
I think that we can go on a wild goose chase trying to find acceptance from people. And I know I did that. I always found myself thinking I was this great leader. But as I look back, I was actually a big follower, constantly just wanting to fit in, thinking I was this tough person. And I see that in all types of situations, whether it's in a career or growing up in high school, elementary, we all just want to fit in.
Yeah, there's a certain level of acceptance that a person really needs to get by, really. It's natural because acceptance can equal love, and it's a necessary need for everyone. I remember for myself, always looking for it for friends, girls. I was looking for acceptance with girls for sure before I knew Christ especially. But what was amazing is when I came to know Christ, I found an unlimited source of acceptance and love, and that was through my relationship with Jesus Christ. And it really freed me from bondages. And what I mean by that is sometimes we can find ourselves in bondage doing things we shouldn't be doing just to get acceptance.
Mm-hmm. What we can tend to do is people please, and it can be very tiresome. I used to be a very big people pleaser, and I'd want to make this person happy and then this person happy. And it would always mess up because acceptance is temporary with people. One day they're happy with you, the next they're not. And then with God, it's eternal. So who are we going to please today? And we have to make that decision, because if we're doing all things unto the Lord and He's pleased with us, that's what matters. And everything will fall into place because He will be there with us through thick and thin. And people, sometimes they come and go, unfortunately.
Right.
And we got to love people, but we also need to love God and trust that He's the one who we get our acceptance from.
Well, you know, I was thinking, just because we're looking for acceptance doesn't mean we're going to be accepted by everyone.
Mm-hmm.
Even Jesus modeled that out.
Yeah.
But if we get our acceptance from Him, it fulfills everything, and then you can get by even with being rejected.
Mm-hmm. And so if you're struggling with that, just know Jesus wasn't accepted by people, and He's okay, and you will be too if you seek Him. So let's hear from Adrian Van Vactor after the break.
Real Life is made possible this week by Young Living Essential Oils and our Awakening Colorado monthly giving partners. Young Living is the leader in 100% pure essential oils, providing natural plant-based ways to improve your health while replacing many chemical-laden products in your home. People have been using essential oils for thousands of years, even in the Bible. To order, just visit wearingsharingcaring.com today, and for a limited time, receive a free gift to help you get started. That's Young Living Essential Oils at wearingsharingcaring.com.
We're excited to announce our new book, Evidence, that will inspire you with real stories of people who encountered God. In a world where there are so many bad things happening, some wonder, is there a God? If there is a God, why does He allow bad things to happen? These people either didn't believe in God or turned from Him and looked for help in everything but God until they had an encounter of their own that changed their lives. Order your copy of Evidence today at www.awakeningthenations.com. Welcome back to Real Life. I'm your host, Kathleen Lay, and joining me is my husband, Evangelist Han Lay.
Hello, everyone.
Joining us is Adrian Van Vactor, and he grew up in a situation where he felt very alone and was bullied by his stepbrothers. And he's going to share with us how magic was his outlet, and he thought that was going to help him throughout his life, but it failed. So let's welcome to the show, Adrian. Thanks for being with us.
Thanks for having me. It's my pleasure to be with y'all.
Now, I understand that your dad didn't really have faith and your mom was Catholic, but you were raised in a non-religious environment. Tell me about that.
Yeah, my mom's from Mexico and she was obviously raised Catholic. When she married my dad, he was very anti-religion, so she let her faith just kind of be a private thing. It wasn't something that was part of the families per se.
Mm-hmm.
Well, my dad abandoned us when I was 7. And I was the oldest. I have a little brother and little sister, and I wanted to be with him. So I ran away from home looking for him in the middle of the Arizona desert.
Oh, wow.
And of course, the police found me and took me back to my mom, and she just knew that I was never going to stop fighting to be with my dad.
Mm.
So I got to move in with him, and he was already remarried within months, and his new wife had 4 kids of her own. I was instantly the youngest now. I had three older stepbrothers and an old stepsister. And because my mom was foreign and I had my dad and they didn't have their dad, you know, I was picked on. It was the life and the culture that we live in at the time. Kids picked on kids. They still do. And it was sort of normal, but it was still negatively impactful on me. Mm-hmm. Especially since my mom being from Mexico, I grew up with a lot of racist verbiage. I grew up with just about every racist nickname that anyone had ever come up with for people from Mexico.
That must have been painful as a kid.
Yeah. Imagine going all through high school. That was the first school that I got to stay at because I went to a lot of different schools. By the time I hit high school, I had gone to 10 different schools. So I didn't have any friends that I could keep growing up. It was just difficult. And I was very lonely at home because I was being picked on. And I would hide in my room. I hid away from my stepbrothers. I hid from my stepmom. I was miserable. You know, imagine going through high school and people never calling you your real name. They're always calling you one of those nicknames that was a racially motivated nickname that stuck.
You know, so someone who's listening right now might be able to really connect to that. How did that exactly make you feel when people were labeling you that way?
Well, it made me feel a couple of things. One, ashamed of my Hispanic heritage. I wanted to disassociate and distance myself from it. So it made me feel shame that I should not have felt. It allowed me to be cruel to my mom to the point where things that I did, I'm so ashamed of. For example, you know, when kids graduate like elementary school or just move on to the next grade, they'll have like a little ceremony. So I'm in whatever grade, third, fourth, you know, I'm living with my dad and there he is with my stepmom and my mom was there too. And our teacher instructed us to go down to the bucket, pick a rose and take it to your mom. You know, students' names were called and each student went and grabbed a rose and gave it to their mom. I went down to the bucket, I grabbed the rose and I walked right past my mom and gave it to my stepmom because I so wanted to be accepted and so wanted to be a part of a family that I actually did that.
Oh, wow. And a lot of people do a lot of things for that type of acceptance. And I know that as you started to get older, you ended up doing magic. It started to take off where though you were a loner, people would come to you and want to see your magic tricks. And that brought you somewhat of life. And it was inspiring for you, but still the stuff at home wasn't happy for you. It wasn't going well for you as you were being bullied. So you ended up running away at 17. Tell me about that.
Yeah, I got so tired of the emotional abuse, and there was a little bit of physical abuse, but I left. I told my dad ahead of time, too. I said, I can't do this anymore. I'm going to leave. He didn't believe me, and I did, and he called me at a friend's house, and he was angry, and he said, you're never welcome back in my home, and you're no longer my son, and he hung up.
Wow.
And that was it. I thought it was over. I hadn't talked to him for two more years.
Wow. And as you continued through your journey, you ended up becoming a famous magician, hoping that somehow the fame, maybe the money would bring you fulfillment, but there was still a void. Can you tell me about that?
Yeah, I wanted to prove to my dad that I could be somebody. I wanted to prove to all my stepbrothers that they were wrong because they used to always make fun of me for being a magician, saying that I would never make it. It's a one in a million chance. And I'm going to end up just a homeless person, things like that.
Oh.
I wanted to prove them wrong. But I also wanted people to notice me. I was a very lonely person. I didn't have any friends growing up. During recess and lunch, I just sat by myself. And I remember one time I was playing with a coin, doing some sleight of hand, and someone noticed it and started saying, oh, I'll do that again. I remember another time I was at home and I had learned a trick from a book and I performed it for one of my stepbrothers. And he looked at what I was doing and he said, cool. And just that little positive feedback for the first time, I did something, brought a smile to his face. And I thought, this is what I got to do. So that I kept perpetuating that same idea that if I just become an entertainer, if I can make people laugh and draw attention, people will start to like me and my life will mean something. And so I pushed and pushed to the point where I am now 2 years after my dad disowned me. I'm standing on a stage in Las Vegas and I just won the internationals.
You were on this high platform and it must have felt so great. But when you came off that platform and people weren't around, how did you feel?
It went back to normal. You know, it did feel great at the moment. And my dad even called me not long after that event. And I was so surprised that he called me. And at the end of that conversation, he just said, I'm proud of you, son. And you think, wow, I was starting a tour all over the country. But whenever the show was finished, and it didn't matter if I was, you know, in my living room for my stepbrothers or on a stage, my audience would leave. And it was temporary. It was not genuine. It was not meaningful. It was just a temporary fix. And I was still alone, still empty. And what really began to work in my mind was, what do we do at all in life that's genuinely meaningful? I mean, I can entertain a crowd, but they'll forget me eventually. And then I'll be a nobody. And what difference does it make? And so all these kinds of ideas started really hitting home with me until I was 19, when I was driving on the interstate. I was getting ready to headline at the Magic Castle in Hollywood. So I'm on Interstate 10 and I was listening to this preacher, and I had already been talking to these people of faith from the Magic Club, people who believed in God and, you know, had their own faith. And I was processing these things. And I thought, you know, there's got to be more to life than just the here and now, beyond what we can see, hear, taste, touch, and smell. What is that? And I was listening to this preacher, and he was just talking about that we were created for a purpose, an eternal purpose, and that there was an actual creator, a God that really existed, and that we could have good reasons for believing that he existed, and that he has a purpose and plan for each and every one of our lives. And I literally was in tears just asking that God to change my heart, to change my life, to make my life matter.
Wow. And when you said that prayer and when you called out to him, how did things change, if you could share that with us?
Well, a lot of things changed. First, my complete attitude in life changed. Things made sense. Truth became very clear. And my attitude towards other people changed. I mean, my family used to tell me, you've changed. You used to be a jerk, and now you're not. I called everybody that I had ever wronged and pleaded for forgiveness.
Wow.
I mean, who does that? So a lot of things dramatically changed in my heart. No one told me to do that. I just thought, I need to make things right with everybody.
Wow.
You know, there are people listening right now who feel like, what am I doing? I'm just going in circles. I'm on this earth. There's no purpose. Is there really a God? Is there not? And they're hearing this for a reason. And we're going to pray for them, because God has a plan and a purpose for their life. And it's very powerful what he did in your life. And now he's using your giftings of what you had as magic to be an illusionist for the Christian community. And you're preaching the gospel through those giftings. So God has used it. And that's what he does. So thank you so much for being with us, Adrian. We're going to pray for our guests.
Oh, God, just thank you so much for just this very real testimony that really touches the hearts of so many. It's so easy to feel so alone. I'm like, what am I doing all this for anyway? What is the real motive of the things that I'm doing in life? And the good news is there's a God who accepts you, who loves you just as you are, and is training you up into a purpose that he has for you. That is the truth. But you have to know him. Jesus, we want to know you. We realize you came to this earth so that we could know God. So Jesus, we receive you, we believe in you, and Father, we want to know you. In Jesus' mighty name.
Amen. God bless you all. Thank you so much for tuning in. You're listening to Real Life.